of the international.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. The Basketball Africa League, or BAL, says it will tip off its second season on March 5th, 2022 in Dakar, Senegal. The BAL will play 15 games in Dakar, 15 more games in April 2022 in Cairo, Egypt, and an 8-game playoffs and final in late May 2022 in Kigali, Rwanda. The BAL will once again feature the national club champions from 12 African countries. On May 30th this year, the BAL crowned its first champion, Zamalek of Egypt. Zamalek defeated U.S. Monastir of Tunisia 76-63 in the final at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2021, let's listen to BAL President Amadou Gallo Fall present the inaugural trophy to Zamalek.
Everybody show character for our team. We was down at the beginning, but I think, you know, we did a great job. So I dedicate this trophy for my coach, my trainers, and all my team. For me, it's a lot, you know. I got a lot of work, and my team has helped me a lot. It means a lot, you know. This is the first time that this league is going to be here, and it's going to be here for a long time. I'm speechless.
That's Walter Hodge of Zamalek, the winner of the Most Valuable Player Award at the Basketball Africa League tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. The MVP award is named in honor of Nigerian great Akeem Olajuwon. The new league for top African professional clubs also announced the recipients of two other awards. And the prizes also honor pioneering African NBA big men. Egyptian center Anas Osama Mahmoud was named the Dikembe Mutombo BAL Defensive Player of the Year after averaging nearly 7 rebounds and 3 blocks a game. And Makram Ben Romdane of U.S. Monastir received the Manute Bol BAL Sportsmanship Award for exemplifying the ideals of sportsmanship and camaraderie.
This is the Voice
of America. Washington, D.C.
The Voice of America is a proud radio broadcast partner of the Basketball Africa League. We covered the games in Kigali in the following languages: English, French, Bambara, Kinyarwanda, Wolof, and Portuguese.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Masai. Masai Ujiri is a big supporter of the Basketball Africa League, which is a partnership between the International Basketball Federation, FIBA, and the National Basketball Association, NBA. In NBA action Thursday night, the Memphis Grizzlies defeated the visiting Los Angeles Lakers by 13 points, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Jaren Jackson Jr. dropped in 25 points, and Desmond Bane added 23 in the Grizzlies' sixth win in seven games, 108-95 versus the Lakers. Memphis pulled away by opening the final period on a 9-2 run, giving them the first double-digit lead for either team. The Grizzlies won without forward Dylan Brooks, who entered health and safety protocol earlier in the day. Bane says he thought they played well without Brooks and injured starter Ja Morant.
Before the game started, I told everybody, have fun. You know, just do what we do, have fun playing the game, and, you know, let the results be the results. And, you know, we came out on top.
Anthony Davis scored a team-high 22 points for the Lakers, and LeBron James had a triple-double with 20 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds.
Hey, losing, frustrated from the loss and, you know, how we played at times throughout the game. You know, we had an opportunity to be the good team that's been playing extremely well, especially at home over the last couple of weeks. We didn't do that. We got to do a better job.
I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. That triple-double by Lakers star LeBron James was the 100th of his great career. Now let's go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Utah Jazz won their sixth consecutive game. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
The Jazz made it six in a row as they picked up a 118-96 win over the 76ers. Utah took control of the second quarter with a 15-6 run key by a pair of threes by Donovan Mitchell. They pushed away to 13 in the third, then used a 9-0 run, taking a 20-point lead in the fourth. Mitchell had a game-high 22 points. Rudy Gobert added 17. There were two of eight Utah players who scored in double figures.
The way we play, the way we move the ball is unique, and the number of weapons that we have on our team is unique.
Joel Embiid had 19 for the Sixers.
That was a rough night shooting the ball, especially from three. You know, when you play against a team like that, you really don't have no room for error. You know, we miss a lot of shots tonight.
Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. In one more NBA result Thursday night, the San Antonio Spurs beat the visiting Denver Nuggets 123-111. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. Samson Omale joins us once again with another big spicy package of African sports highlights. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Sonny. We'll begin the wrap of this weekend's African sports action with the Confederation of African Football announcing that the 2021 CAF Super Cup will be hosted in Doha, Qatar on the 22nd of December, 2021. Al-Hakli of Egypt, winners of the 2020-2021 CAF Champions League, will face Raja Casablanca of Morocco, winners of the 2020-2021 CAF Confederations Cup in the annual playoff of the CAF Super Cup title. Al-Hakli are the title holders of the CAF Super Cup, having beaten Morocco's RS Berkane 2-0 in Doha on the 28th of May 2021. Meanwhile, the Confederation of African Football on Thursday began a 30-day countdown to the 33rd edition of the African Cup of Nations. Cameroon is hosting the event, which has been delayed for 1 year as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, for the first time since it hosted it in 1972. 24 national teams will be participating. Ahead of the tournament, the Black Stars of Ghana will play a friendly game against the Phoenix Foxes of Algeria in Qatar on a date yet to be announced. Verbal agreement has been reached between the two football associations, with only the official signing of contract papers remaining. Staying with football news, the South African Football Association is not giving up just yet and is prepared to fight onto the country's national football team. Bafana Bafana, get a lifeline and at least replay the World Cup qualifiers against Ghana. Last week, FIFA dismissed the South African Football Association's allegations of match manipulation in Bafana Bafana's qualifier against the Black Stars of Ghana last month. FIFA last week Friday told the South African Football Federation that the protest submitted in the aftermath of the World Cup qualifier was inadmissible and did not meet the requirement foreseen under Article 46 of the FIFA Disciplinary Code. SAFA Chief Executive Officer Tibogo Motlanthe says their next move will be determined only after FIFA's reason for the dismissal of their protest is communicated to them.
They've written to say they're working on the reasons. As soon as we get the reasons, we'll then decide what is the next way forward. Remember, now I'm talking as a legal person. You can't say either you're going to appeal their decision to CAS or not without having the reasons. But those remains open options. If the reasons are not satisfactory to us, of course we'll continue, we will look at all our legal options and exercise our legal options.
Staying with football news, but this time around amputee football. The victorious Ghanaian amputee football team, the Black Challenge, who emerged champions of the 2021 Amputee African Cup of Nations hosted by Tanzania, are back in Ghana. The Black Challenge defeated Liberia 3-2 to be crowned champions of Africa. The Black Challenge had defeated Egypt 3-0 in their first match, then followed it up with a 4-0 trouncing of Nigeria in a grueling quarterfinal match that set them up against Angola in the semi-final game. Head coach of Ghana's amputee men's football team, Stephen Richard, said qualifying for the World Cup in Turkey 2022 was one of their targets and he was glad they achieved it.
It's a mission accomplished. We traveled for one, qualify for World Cup 2022 in Turkey. Two is to break the siege of over seven years Ghana not participation in any international tournament. And third thing is to bring amputee football in Ghana can be revived and a league can be commenced soon, so that all the playing body in Ghana and everybody who have not been in the sports can also join. So it's a mission accomplished and we thank God now.
And on to boxing news. Richard Obliti Komi, Ghanaian professional boxer who held the IBF lightweight title in 2019, will this weekend meet former lightweight champion Vasily Lomachenko from Ukraine for a 12-round lightweight championship bout in New York. Obliti, who previously held multiple regional lightweight titles, including the Ghanaian title in 2011, the ABU title in 2013, and the Commonwealth title from 2014 to 2015, says he's very prepared to meet Lomachenko in what appears to be the biggest fight of his career.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Legendary former distance runner Paul Tergat has been elected unopposed as the National Olympic Committee of Kenya president. The elections that were presided over by the Center for Corporate Governance Chief Executive Officer Joshua Okumbi saw virtually all the incumbents keeping their seats. The only new person to gain entry to the executive is Barnaba Kurie from Athletics Kenya, who was elected as one of the three executive committee members. Also elected unopposed were athletics representatives Humphrey Kayange for the male and Helen Obiri for the female athletes. Paul Tergat speaks of his plans for the National Olympic Committee of Kenya.
Each and every federation that we have within our National Olympic Committee, they need also to work. And more importantly is we have now our government which is working so hard, supporting and giving the finance also in terms of if any qualification, if a team is wanted to travel outside the country, they have been always forthcoming to see to it that we are all aligned to see to it that we drive the sports in this country.
And now to swimming. Four swimmers have been selected to represent Tanzania in the 15th edition of the FINA World Swimming Championships, scheduled to be held in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates, from December 16th to the 22nd. The 15th FINA World Swimming Championships were previously programmed for December 13th to the 18th, but were pushed back for 3 days. In chess news, Emmanuel Mwaka, president of the Ugandan Chess Federation, says chess in Uganda is gaining more popularity, coming on the heels of the movie The Queen of Katwe. Mwaka said currently Uganda has over 20,000 chess players and has plans to continue to invest in the game in the coming year.
Uganda Chess Federation attended its first Olympiad in 1978, and from then we've not missed any Olympiad. Chess in Uganda is having a big boom, and currently we have over 20,000 players. We have 1,700 players registered with FIDE. We are top 10 in Africa, and we are sure we are making great advances. We've invested heavily amongst the children, and there's an Africa Individual Schools Chess Championship coming up, which we won in 2019 on the continent. We have been investing heavily. In 2019, we qualified our under-16 team for the World Chess Olympiad for the first time. And we have several masters who are below the age of 18. I think they're over 10 now, and we are still going strong.
In hockey news, South Africa will join the world's elite in the FIH Men's Hockey Pro League next year after several teams pulled out of the season due to COVID-19. The South African Hockey Association revealed that the men's team, coached by Gareth Ewing, had been given a temporary participation by the executive board of the International Hockey Federation. South Africa and Canada will join the third edition of the league, replacing Australia and New Zealand, who pulled out of the current season due to COVID-related travel constraints. And now to netball. Netball South Africa have confirmed that a joint memorial will be held following the tragic bus accident which claimed 4 lives on Sunday in Aberdeen. 3 netball players and an official died when the bus carrying 2 teams from the OR Tambo district was involved in an accident in Aberdeen in the Eastern Cape while they were on their way to the ongoing National Netball Championship in Cape Town. Cecilia Molokwane is the president of Netball South Africa.
At this point in time, we cannot tell exactly what happened, because people that saw what happened are the people that actually are still in hospital, some of them, and some of them are not in a state of talking about what happened. We're giving them time to recuperate, and we're giving them all the support that we can.
That's Cecilia Molokwane, the president of Netball South Africa. And thanks to Samson Omale for that package of African sports news. Cameroonian authorities say the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament next month will be safe and well protected. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaounde, Cameroon.
Cameroon's police, military, and senior government officials have been holding meetings to ensure a successful African Football Cup of Nations, AFCON, which runs from January 9 to February 6. On Thursday, Cameroon assembled its 10 regional governors in the capital to examine the country's readiness to host 24 African soccer teams, officials, and thousands of fans expected for the tournaments. Paul Atanganji is Cameroon's territorial administration minister and permanent secretary of its National Security Council. He says President Paul Biya ordered the meeting to make sure Cameroon gives Africa and the world the most successful AFCON the continent has ever seen. Nji says Biya does not want the games to be disrupted by separatists and politicians whom he accused of wanting to project a bad image of Cameroon to the outside world.
We have told politicians that Cameroonians want a peaceful country. Politicians should be reasonable. All Cameroonians should be ambassadors behind our great leader, President Paul Biya, to make this AFCON a great event. Any attempt to disrupt public order will be dealt with squarely. I'm very clear, regional governors have taken up the challenge to promote peace, unity, tranquility, living together during the AFCON.
Nji specifically accused opposition leader Maurice Kamto, who still insists he won the 2018 presidential elections, of planning to disrupt the games. But Kamto says he will be educating civilians on the need for Cameroon to revise its electoral code, which he says favors Biya during the AFCON marches. Meanwhile, separatist groups on social media platforms have issued warnings that AFCON marches should not be played in Limbe and Boya, two towns in the southwest region. Langmi Nestor is spokesperson of the separatist Ambazonia National Self-Defense Council. He says fighters have been instructed to disrupt the games if Biya does not withdraw its troops fighting separatists in the English-speaking western regions.
Biya must either come to the negotiation table or will give sleep last night. The freedom of the people of Ambazonia is far more important than any nonsense in the name of African Nation Cup.
Armed groups have been fighting to separate Cameroon's two English-speaking western regions from the rest of Cameroon and its French-speaking majority for the past 5 years. This week, defense officials said extra troops have been deployed to protect soccer fans and players all over Cameroon and vowed the matches in Limbe and Boya would go on. The military says it has deployed troops to the border between French-speaking and English-speaking regions to stop rebels from advancing during AFCON. The military says it is calling on civilians to assist in maintaining peace during AFCON by reporting strangers and suspicious activity in towns and villages. AFCON's opening match is a contest between Burkina Faso and Cameroon, a five-time African Cup of Nations champion. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. You can also connect with the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. VOA's Gwen Uten joins us now with a profile of an Olympic champion for Team USA who made history in Tokyo in women's freestyle wrestling. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Tamara Mensah Stock is the first Black American woman to win wrestling gold at an Olympic Games, and she had to overcome a tough draw to make history. She defeated Rio 2016 champion Sara Dasho of Japan, overpowered Joe Feng of China, an opponent Mensah Stock lost to twice before, and claimed victory over Ukrainian 2018 world champion Ala Cherkasova. Her final match was against Nigerian veteran Blessing Oborodudu. Mensah Stock defeated the 10 times African champion 4-1. Following her performance, the American gold medalist described how she was able to overcome her seasoned opponents.
What I love to say is to be the best, you've got to beat the best. And so going against an Olympic gold medalist, my first round, boy, that was a lucky draw. And then the second person I wrestled, you guys might not know this, but I actually lost to Zhao twice. I had never beaten her. And so that was extremely satisfying to finally get that. My third match against Ukraine, she scored on me. Like, it was hellishly tough. And the fact that I was able to dominate, it just shows me, like, yeah, everybody, do you guys see this? Like, I'm doing this. I'm being me, too. Like, I'm not sacrificing who I am. And I'm still able to just go out there and, like, conquer. So it's great.
Mensah Stock was born in the U.S. state of Illinois to an African-American mother and a Ghanaian father. After moving to Texas, she took up wrestling at the urging of her twin sister, but almost quit the sport after her father was killed in a car accident on his way home from one of her high school matches. She says her father was her biggest supporter, so she continued to wrestle, eventually becoming the Women's Collegiate Nationals Champion in 2014 and 2017. She traveled to the 2016 Rio Games as a training partner for her teammates, and she is now a gold medalist in her debut as an Olympian. And she's ready for her next role in life, inspiring a new generation of athletes.
Now that I'm on the stage and I am a Black woman on the Olympic stage and I have a gold medal, there are younger people, like take Kennedy Blades, for example. Like, she can see herself on the stage and go, she did this. Why can't I do it? Like, she looks just like me. This is possible. And I want to be an inspiration to as many people as I can. And so, man, the younger generation, they're going to be so freaking fire. I'm so ecstatic for them. Like, that's all. That's mostly what I want in this world, is just to inspire as many people as I can through love, because I love giving hugs since I was a baby. So, yeah, it means a lot.
And Mensah Stock is enjoying the ride in the midst of an otherwise stressful competitive environment. A personal karaoke machine helped the newly crowned champion stay calm and have some fun.
So the karaoke machine is not a secret. However, having fun, I think, is, because people think that when you're going for a gold medal, an Olympic gold medal, you have to be gung-ho, focused, like just omit everybody from your life. And like, you know, like the saying, it's lonely at the top. No, it's not. That was like one thing like I did not want. I wanted to be at the top, be married, not have kids, because that's just hella, that's too much. But I wanted to have fun doing it, because in the end, the journey is the most important thing for me. And like, once I get to the destination, well, what's after it? Like, did I enjoy my journey? I most certainly did.
And Mensah Stock is now helping to make her mother's dream come true. She plans to use her gold medal winnings to help her mom become the proud owner of a food truck that she will name the Ladybug. Mensah Stock is only the second American woman to win Olympic gold in wrestling. The first was Helen Maroulis in 2016.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
I also want to mention that Mensah Stock's final opponent, Nigeria's Blessing Oborodudu, won silver, one of two medals for Nigeria at the Tokyo Games. She joins S.A. Brume, who won bronze in the women's long jump event. Nigeria finished eighth best among the 54 African nations at this year's Olympic Games. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sporting greetings. This is Esther Brume, 3-time African champion in long jump. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
And that wraps up the December 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sport.